Daf Nunt. We're finishing up the third parak and beginning the fourth parak today. So let's take it from three lines down from the top. The Gemara, a very interesting Gemara, very famous Gemara that you guys all know and heard before. So the Gemara says, "Vahaya bayomahu lo ye or yikaros v'kipon." Bayomahu, on that day, the day the Mashiach comes, so the light that's so yakar will be kipon. Kipon means it will be very light, it will float. The light, what's significant now, will only pale in comparison to what's going to be in the future. I mean, it's going to be very inferior to what the light will be in the future. So mayakaros v'kipon, what does it refer to, that which is yakar now will be only very light in the future? So there are a few different opinions here. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ze'or, referring to the light, She'yakar, Bolam Hazev, Kofay L'Olam Haba, the Or, referring to the Or L'Chama, the sun, which is of course very strong now, but L'Asalava, it's going to be very, very light compared to the Or of Mashiach. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Elu Negam V'Olos, the Lachas of Tuma of Negataras, and the halachas of tumas oel of mace, she yakar nehem bolam hazeh, that they're very severe. We make sure to stay away from them in the world we live in now. But in the future, kfuim hein leolam haba, in the future, they're going to be very, very light with respect to other severe halachas that will be in the world to come. Unclear exactly what that's referring to, but something about that will change our perspective of olos unigayim. Then Rabbi Shuv ben Levi Amar Elu bnei Adam sheyakarin heim b'olam hazeh v'kfuyim hein l'olam haba. It's referring to individuals who are very, very, you know, respected in this world, but in the future they're going to be very, very, very light, and the whole world will be olam hafach, as we're about to see the Gemara. That kihadar of Yosef b'rei Rabbi Shuv ben Levi chalash v'sinage, that he was very, very weak, he almost died, and kihadar, when he came back to life, Amar Le Avu, his father says to him, my chazi, so what did you see when you were dead or dying? So Amar Leh, he says to him, Olam Hafach, he says, I saw a world that was completely opposite. El Yonah Lamata V'tachton Lamala, those were on top, were in the bottom, those were in the bottom, were on the top, everything was switched around. So Amar Leh, B'ni, Olam Barari, so you saw the world of clarity, this was the true world. The people who are respected in this world really are not so respected in the world to come. V'anon Hechi Hasam, and how were we positioned, where was our, you know, standing in the Olam HaEmes? So he says, Kihecha de Isa Anan Hacha, Hachi Isa Nahasam. Just like we're respected in this world, we're also respected in the world above. So this already is a contradiction to the previous statement. We just said it's the complete opposite, but yet some individuals, such as a real true tzaddikim, they respected in this world, will also be, of course, respected in the world to come. So Gemara goes on to say further, Vishemati Shayu Omer, I heard them say a fascinating statement, and this is turned into a song. Ashrei Misha Balakan Viz Tamuda Biyada, praiseworthy is he who comes here and holding his Talmud in his hand. The Shemati Shei Omerman, I heard them say, Haruge Malchus, Ein Adam Yochel Amor B'michitas, and those who are killed by the Malchus, you cannot stand within the same Mechita. So this first statement of Tamuda Biyada, the Marshan Bab Basra, learns from here that there's an Indian actually to write one's own Sefer. What do you mean Tamuda Biyada? His Talmud Biyada? So he says, you need to ride a sefer and put it in your hand and walk home with your sefer. And there's a lot to talk about here. The different perushim of the Indian of writing down svarim. They talk about, the Mishnah says that the person who forgets Mishnaso is Chayiv Misa. What do you mean Mishnaso? His learning. So the Mefarshim say, the Shlach says, you're Mishnaso. What? You're Mechadish in this world? If you write it down, if you forget it, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. So you must write it down. This way it won't be forgotten ever. It has to be Leva Roshim forever. So there's a long discussion about many sources how one should write Chidush HaTorah. Based on this Daf Yomi, I actually decided to give my Sunday morning shiur later today on the topic of writing a sefer, because I'm in the middle of writing my own sefer right now, so it just worked out very nicely, which relates to other things. Also happens to be Rosh Chodesh Shvat as well this week. There's a big inyan to write svarim. Just like each year there's a new fruit that grows on the tree, Adam is Eitzu, so the Mefarsh, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that each person has to be Mechadish his own Chidushei Torah to write a sefer. So it happens to work out very nicely this week, but if you want to hear the shiur later on, feel free to come. Okay, so Gemara then says, Vayter. My ninu, who are these haruge malchus that ain't adam yachala amor b'mechitas, and that you can't stand within the same mechita in the olam hemes? Ilema Rebbe Akiva chaverav, it's referring to Rebbe Akiva and all the haruge malchus. So then, mishum haruge malchus v'sulo, only because they are killed by malchus, we couldn't stand in the mechita. Had not been for that, we could stand in the same area, the same dal amos as Rebbe Akiva, lasad lavo. Hardly hard to say that. Ela haruge lod. In terms of Rebbe Akiva and all the great tzaddikim that were killed at Haruge Malchus, we couldn't stand near them anyways. Now, the fact they were killed at Haruge Malchus maybe added another layer to their great Kedusha. They're referring to a particular case, Haruge Lod. What's Haruge Lod? What happened there? So there's a situation. If you look at Rashi, Rashi has a very abridged version of the Gemara that says, Shnei Acham Hayu, two brothers, Shemasu Asman al Yisrael, Sheholdu Asman Harigas Bas Melech, Sheu Matilin Osal Kol Yisrael. What happened was, the princess was killed. and they had accused the Jews of killing her. So they were going to wipe out all the Yidden. So these two brothers stepped forward and they said, we take responsibility, even though they really didn't, but they're Moser Nefesh to have themselves killed or hanged or whatever happened to them in order to save the rest of the Yidden. So those two individuals are referring to those Harugei Malchus of a special place in the world to come because they saved the entire Jewish people. So there is a very interesting discussion in Halacha. Can a person give up his own life or perhaps even endanger his own life to save somebody else? Is that allowed or not? So some say, you see, based on the story, that one can give up their own life. But Rav Moshe writes that, no, that's only true when saving a rabbim. They're saving a whole city. But one for one, a person to give up his life, or at least endangered life, for the life of one individual, Rav Moshe says one cannot do that. Chazon Ish has a very interesting discussion also. He talks about, this is used for self-driving cars nowadays. So what does that mean? So Chazon Ish was talking about a situation where, let's say, a missile was going towards a big city. And you have the ability to change the course of that missile to go to a smaller city. So now, is that allowed to be done? Because, that city, the small city, was being saved. But you just changed the course. Now you're killing people who are otherwise protected, but you're saving thousands of other people. Is that allowed? So it comes up by, self-driving cars. They have to program every situation. Let's say it's going to a large crowd of people somehow, and then it could change course to go to a smaller crowd of people. Is that best for them to program within the self-driving car to go all to the route to save more people or not? So the Chazon Ish writes, he says that, you are allowed to actually change the course of the missile to go to the smaller amount of people. That's not called a pu'ula of ritzicha. That's not called murdering. That's called saving. Your intent isn't to kill the smaller city or destroy the smaller city. Your intent is to save the larger city, and therefore he qualified it that way. So here's what, with the self-driving cars, Rav Ashwai says, you're not trying to kill the smaller crowd, you're trying to protect the larger crowd, and that's how one defined it. So it becomes an interesting issue based on this particular sugya. Fine, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says further on the Darshan of Psukim in Zechariah, Bayomahu, it was that day, yeah, al mitzilos hasus kodesh l'Hashem. So we're going to see a few interpretations of what mitzilos means. That day, the mitzilos of the horse will be kodesh l'Hashem. My mitzilos hasus, Amri b'shu ben Levi, asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hosif al Yushalayim, ad she'asus ratz u'meitzil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to expand the dimensions of Yushalayim, like the distance a horse can run in half a day. The Lashon of Metzilos is tzel. The shade of Yushalayim is going to expand. That's the first interpretation. Second interpretation is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Amar, Kol Metzilos Shetolon Lasus Bein Einav Yekodesh Lashem. All the different bells that are hung between the eyes of the horse, that will be dedicated towards the base of Migdash. And Lashon Metzilos is a bell. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Biza Shebozes in Yisrael, all the different spoils that Klai is going to collect in the times of Mashiach from the Goyim, Ad Shasha Susrats, to the time, to a horse runs, they're going to have 12 hours to collect all the spoils from the Goyim, Umeitzil, they're going to where the horse casts its shadow, Yekodesh Hashem. So all the spoils will be used for the Beis Hamikdash. So these are three interpretations. Either the Yushalayim is going to expand, or they're going to take the bells from the horse's head, or it's referring to the spoils from the Goyim. So Gemara says, Bishma, I understand, Laman Damar Kol Biza Shebazu Yisrael, all the collections of Am Yisrael, Hainu Dichsev, that's what the continuation of the Pasuk means, Vayu Hasiros Beveis Hashem, Kamizrakim Lefnei Mizbeach. There are many different utensils and vessels used in the base of Mikdash. The Mizraklos were the vessel used to throw the blood on the Mizbeach. And then there's siros, which were bowls, which were not really that important and essential. But since there was so much wealth for collecting all the spoils from the Goyim, so even the small little bowls, even the siros will be made of gold. They'll just be just as chashiv as the mizrakos. So that continuation makes sense. V'hayah siros b'veis Hashem, even the bowls will be kemizrakim l'fnei hamizbeach because all the spoils that they collected from the Goyim. The other two interpretations, that the bells between the horses, which is not such a great, it makes some money off it, but it's not as much as collecting all the property from the Goyim. And the other pshat of the expansion of Yishalayim, so Maya Hayah Siros Beveis Hashem, how is that a continuation that the bowls will be just as chashiv? How does that relate to the first half of the pasuk about expanding dimensions of Yishalayim and collecting the bells from between the eyes of the horses? So the Gemara says it has nothing to do with it. It's a milsa acharisa kamar, it's a complete separate point. One point is the first interpretation of the pasuk, and the separate point is, and also even the bowls will be very chashuv in the base of Mikdash. The misasre Yisrael, the misnabe maisi, that they're going to be very, very wealthy in the times of the Mashiach, and they'll be able to dedicate even very bowls that are not so important. Even those bowls will come from gold and silver. So the Gemara says further now, Bishmai and the Shalaman Damar Biza, the one who says it's referring to collecting all the spoils from the Goyim, Hainu Dechsiv Eloya Kenani Ode Beveis Hashem Tzvakos. There's not going to be a Kenani. What does it mean there won't be a Kenani? That, if you look at, this is the interpretation of Rashi, that referring to Estama, a Kenani, a non-Jew, he won't need his appointment at all because you have I'm sorry, in fact, the Kenani here means a Socher. So there is that Rashi. Look for that Rashi for a second. Rashi Kenani lo yitzrichem gizbarim lasa schora benichse kodesh hekdesh lefisha yesham osher gadol meabiza. You don't need a person trying to make money for the base of Mikdash because it's going to be such an overflow of dedication. So therefore, a Kenani. This we'll see in a second how Kenani means a socher, but you don't need any Kenani. You don't need a socher. Elman damar hanuch tarti maivlo ye Kenani. The other two interpretations, where they're going to collect bells on the horses and the Yerushalayim is going to expand, that doesn't mean there's going to be an overflow of dedications. You still will need a Kenani dealing with all the dedications of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to make some money and finance it. So you would need a Kenani. So what is the interpretation? Lo ye Kenani. So Amar Yirmiyah, Ein Kan Ani. There won't be an Ani. The word Kenani means Ein Kan Ani, no Ani. I mean, people are going to be very, very wealthy, and no more poor people will be left over. And that's what it means, Ein Kan Kenani. So now the Gemara wants to know, how do you see Kenani minolim the ikre tagar? Where do we find that Kenani means a merchant? It says in the Pasuk, Dechsev, Vayar Sham Yehuda, Bas Ish Kenani. And Yehuda saw a Ish Kenani. So my Kenani, Ilem Kenani, Mamish, he met a Kenani woman. Efshir Ba'avram, the Hizir, as Yitzchak. But Yitzchak visits Yaakov, the Yehuda Aziv Anasiv. Avram said Yitzchak should not marry Kenani, and Yitzchak gave the same orders to Yaakov not to marry Kenani. But now Yehuda, the great grandchild of Avram, went ahead and he married a Kenani. Hard to say that. So Ela Amar Reish Lakish, what it means is Bas Gavra Taga. It was a daughter of a Kenani who was a merchant, a socher. Not that she came from Kenan, but she was the daughter of a Kenani, and the definition is a socher. Dechsev Kenan biyado mosne mirmer. The pasuk says a Kenan has in his hand something to weigh things, a scale, because he's a merchant, not because he comes from Kenan, but that's a Kenani's a way of referring to a socher. Ibai Seima, another source, Mehacha, Asher Sochare, Sarim, Kenane, Nichbad Aretz, is also referenced. The Kenani here means referring to a merchant, not referring to a person who actually comes from Kenan. So there is a question based on this, that of course the Shvatim could not have married Kenanim, but there is a Rashi that says, the Machlokas, who exactly did the Shvatim marry? So one Pshat says the Shvatim married this twin sister. So everyone has another twin sister. So Shimon married Reuven's twin sister, let's say, and Levi married Yehuda's twin sister. But there's another Pshat that they didn't have twins. They actually married people from Canaan. So it goes against the Gemara here that says they cannot marry people from Canaan. So the Das HaKenan, the Baal Tosas, right, says no, only Yehuda couldn't marry Kenani. That's the Gemara, only Yehuda. But the rest were able to. Why dafk Yehuda? He doesn't explain Balachor because Yehuda maybe was the Melech. Maybe that's the reason. But he thought only Yehuda had this edict not to marry a Kenani, but every one of the other Shvatim were allowed to. That's one pshat. The other pshat, as the Ramban says, they were not really Kenanim that we were marrying. When Rashi says they were married Kenani, they weren't. They lived in an area near Kenan, but they weren't actually Kenanios, if that's what they were called. And then Sisei Chachamim says further, they were actually Kenan. But when it comes to non-Jews, you don't follow based on the mother. The mothers were Canaan, but the fathers were not from Canaan. So therefore, they went based on a nation wherever the father was from. So they were partially Canaanite because their mother's side was Canaan, but the fathers were not Canaan. So they were called Canaanite, but they were not really Canaanite and was not subject to this particular issue. Okay, let's go Vayikra now. Gemara now says, V'haya Hashem l'melech ha'klaretz b'yama hu yeh shem echad o shmo echad. So we know this pasuk very well. And the Gemara darshins now, Atu ha'idna lav echadu. Hashem is not Echad now, only Bayomahu, only on that day Hashem will be Echad. Hard to say that. That's possible to say, obviously. So what it means is, Amr Bi'acha Brachanina, Lo Kalm Hazeh Olm Haba. Olm Hazeh, in this world that we live in, Al Besuros Tovos, Omer Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, Al Besuros Ros, Omer Baruch Dain Hemes. On, good tidings, we say Tov HaMeitiv, and on bad news, we say Tov HaMeitiv. Rather, we say Baruch Dain Hemes. The Olm Haba, in the world to come, Kula HaTov, everything's going to be good, Kula HaTov HaMeitiv. Everything's going to be good. We even see that which looks ra is really good. That's what's going to be in the future. And what it means is Shmo Echad, that his name will be that Hashem Echad is the first pshat. Now Shmo Echad, then the name will be Echad as well. My Echad, Atu Edna Lav Shmo Echad, is it not one? His name isn't one now. So Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lo Kolm Hazeh, Om Haba. Om Hazeh, this world, Nichtav B'Yud Kei, V'Nikr B'Alav Dalet. We don't say it how it's pronounced. We know it's written as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we pronounce it as Adnas. Avaliyom Hab in the future, Kula Echa Nikra B'Yudhe, we're going to V'Nichta B'Yudhe. We're going to write it as Yudhe, and we're going to recite it, pronounce it as Yudhe Bavke. So Sava Rava Le Midrashe Le Pirke, he wanted to give a Joshua once. Amrele Yahu Saba Li Olem Ksiv. It says in the Pasuk, Li Olam, as we'll see, but it's written as Olem without the Vav. So Ksiv, Rabbi Avina, Rami Ksiv, Zeshmi Li Olam, V'Zeh Zichli Dor V'Ador. So why is it read as Li Olam, but written as Li Olem? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Lo Kashin Keshani Nichtav Ani Nikra. The way I'm written is not the way I'm read. Nichtav Ani B'Yudhe. I'm written as Yudhe, but Nikra, I'm written Ani Ba'alf Dal. That's how I'm read, pronounced, because Li Olem means to conceal, to hide. So the name should be hidden. Sounds like perhaps even forever, even Li Olam, the name of Hashem should not be pronounced as Yudke Vavke. Hajin Lach Elu Ovim. So now we finish the third parak. We begin the fourth parak. The fourth parak is an interesting parak. A lot about Minhagim here. So the mission begins, the parak begins as follows. Makum Shinagu Lasos Malacha Barvi Pesachim. The place has a practice to do work on Er Pesach Ad Chatzos until the afternoon. Osim, he's allowed to do it. Makum Shinagu Shelo Lasos. The practice is not to do work. Ein Osim, you shouldn't do it. Holech, you have to follow Minhag Makum. Haholech Mimakum Shelo. That's before we go ahead, actually. Let's go weiter. Let's rather look at Rashi and Tosfos for a very interesting machlokas here. Why is there an Isra Malacha Er Pesach? So Rashi says, if you're so involved in Malacha, you're not going to burn your chametz. V'shchitas haPesach, v'tikun matzah l'tzarech halayla to bake matzahs, the mitzvah l'tzarech mibod yom k'day l'hasev mahir. You have to be very, very busy so everything's prepared Erev Yomtiv. This way, when Yomtiv begins, you can get right to the Suda, right to the Seder. So it's a busy day. That's why there's no Malacha. Tosis has there's a fascinating Tosis here. Let's look at the Tosis on top here. Makam Shinagu Omer Ri B'Shem Rivah B'Mefarsh B'Yushalmi Maishna Ari Psacha Mishai Yom Tovim. What's unique about Pesach? Mishim Dizmana Pesach Mechatos Ve'Elech. We bring the Karban Pesach Er Pesach. Ve'af Yachid Kamar Hazam B'Shari Mos Hashanah B'Yom Shemevi Karban Aser B'Malacha. The day you bring a Karban is Aser B'Malacha. Why? Because it's a Shtikal Yontif when you bring a Karban. There are many, many riyas for this. The day you bring a Karban, there's a Yontif. Not because you're busy with matzah and chametz. There's a Yontif. So Er Pesach is Mamash a Yontif. It's a partial Parsha Yontif. Now listen to this fascinating Shiloh that Yushalmi asks. Im Kain, you had call Yom Aser. Every day should be Aser to do work. Kamo Yachid Shemevi Karban and Mufor Shasa Mishim Deroy Lahakriv Mishacharis. Ava Pesach. About Pesach, ain't yachal akiv el acher chatos k'naflam mi ben harbayim uparach imkain carbon yachad shulachol yisrael v'karbe chol yom ye bechol yom aser b'malacha. So there should be an isra malacha every single day because we bring a carbon tamid every single day. Asks the Yushalmi, we should never be able to do any work. And the Yushalmi answers, "Mishani shiny tamid shatorah hotzim in a klal dechsev v'asafta digenecha." Since the pasuk tells you have to do work, so there's a special pasuk. So carbon tamid is the one exception where it does not generate an isra malacha. But every other carbon that you bring, it becomes a shtikel v'yomtiv. And there are many gemaras and tainis that talks about this. That's why there's an isra to do malacha on erev yomtiv. So the big nafkamina, one nafkamina is bismanazet. Would there be an isra malacha? Bismanazet, there's no karbanos anymore. So Tosfos wouldn't be irrelevant, and there's no isra malacha according to Shitas Tosfos. But according to the Rashi, which is all about just being busy with burning chametz and then preparing for the Suda and then baking matzahs, it would still be relevant, afilu bizman hazeh. Okay. Yeah, ain't a chanami, but each person has a chelik in it because the machzah is a shekel of it. So the mission begins and continues further now and says that makom shenagu shalasos ein osin, haholech mimakom sheosin, the makom shein osin, a person goes from a place where they have a practice to do work, but he travels to a place where they don't do work, or vice versa. Mimakum she'ein osin, lemakum she'osin, nosin alav chumrei makum she'yotzim misham, v'chumrei makum she'olach l'sham. He has to take on the chumr from where he came and to where he's going. He takes the chumrs on both ends. That's the Mishnah. Mishnah says further now in Nunam Ebeiz, val yishane adam mipnei ha'machlokas, a person should never change because of machlokas. You should not do different than your surroundings, even though your personal minhag might be different. You need to follow the practice of the community, the shul that you find yourself in. Kiyotibo. Correct. You're acting like, we'll have to see. The Gemara is going to address different cases. Sometimes a Chumrah, being passive, doesn't look necessarily like you're doing something different. They talk about like Tisha B'Av, not doing work. Sometimes a person, you're not doing work because you have no work to do.
It's not contradicting.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So then the Mishnah says, Kiyotibo, in a similar fashion, Hamolich Peros Shavis, Mimakum Shekala. Let's explain what's going on here before we read the Mishnah. There's a din, when it comes to Shemitah year, the Shemitah year is next year, I believe, so then the fruit you eat, you're allowed to eat the fruit at Shemitah, you can't sell it, you can't do schar with it, but it's all hefker, and you're allowed to eat it. But the moment that fruit's no longer available outside in the fields, you have to burn any leftovers. So the Mishnahs go through different times when in the season when there are no longer figs. For example, there's no te'ena. By Hanukkah time, there are no figs out in the field anymore. So if there are no figs out in the field anymore, that means any figs you have left over in your house that are Shemitah, there's a mitzvah beer shvias. You have to burn it. You can't eat it anymore. It's also at that point. So now the different locations have different seasons. It could be figs are still growing in the north, but they're not growing in the south anymore. So where do you go based on which zman of which era of Eretz Yisrael are going to dictate that the season's over for figs or for grapes or for dates? So the Gemara says, Kayoti bo, in a similar fashion, the Mishnah says, Hamolich peres shvias mimakom shekalu, the makom shelokalu. You took the fruit from an area of Eretz Yisrael where they stopped having the figs available, but you brought it to a location where the figs are still available in the fields. Oh, Mimakum shilokalu, or you brought from an area where they still have figs available in the field, but you brought to an area lamakum shikalu. The din is a chayv levar. You have to burn it in either direction because you have to take the chumer from where you come and the chumer where you're going to. Now the Mishnah finishes off with a very cryptic statement. We have to wait for the Gemara to explain what he means here. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tzei v'have leich af ata. Unclear what that means, so just ignore it for now. We'll see the Gemara, I'm not sure if tomorrow or the following day is going to explain exactly what this means. So now the Gemara says, my iri ari psachim. Why is this Mishnah only talking about the iser to do melacha on Erev Pesach? Afil ari shabbosos vare yamin tovim nami. The Tanya we're going to see, it's a Mishnah, a Gemara in Shabbos, and also a Gemara at the end of ari psachim, on the beginning of ari psachim. Ha'osim melacha b'ari shabbosos yamin tovim min amincha l'mala. A person does work on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov after mincha time, which is the ninth and a half hour and beyond. He will not see any fruits from that labor that he did on Erev Shabbos. So we see this doesn't only apply to Erev Pesach, it applies also to regular Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. And so the Gemara answers, Hasam min amincha lamala hu daser, but samach lemincha lo, but before, samach means a half an hour before, you're allowed to do melacha on the other days of the year. Hacha, here by Erev Pesach, mechatzos, even from chatzos, you're ready, the iser kicks in. So in terms of when the iser kicks in, that's the difference between Erev Pesach for his other Yom Tovim. Inami, alternatively, Hasam Simim Brachahu, the Lochazi, Aval Shmute Lo Mishamtinale. When it comes to Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you don't see a Simim Bracha, but you're not going to be excommunicated, you're not going to be punished for doing so, you just won't gain anything. Hacha, when it comes to Erev Pesach, Shmute Inami Mishamtinale, we put the guy in Tcheirim for doing Lacha on Erev Pesach. So Gufa, we're restating what we said above, Ha'osam Lacha Bari Shabbosos, Ubari Yom Tovim, and Amincha Lamala, Uvimotzei Shabbos, we're adding now. Uvimotzei Yom Tov, Uvimotzei Yom HaKippurim, Uvichol Malkum Sheisham Nidnun Avera. Anytime before or after Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's some level in Avera seemingly having to do with Tosefa Shabbos or Kavod Shabbos. Rashi writes here, Motzei Shabbos, Mishum Kavod Shabbos, Shemosifin Michol Ala Kodesh. You're supposed to extend the Kedusha of Shabbos and Kedusha of Yom Tov. So during those times of the year are also subject to Lasuye Tainis Sibur. Those sales or whatever you're doing, the work you're doing on Erev or Motzei Shabbos Yom Tov will not see any Simin Bracha. So Gemara then says Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us further now. Yesh Zariz V'Nischar V'Yesh Zariz V'Nifsa. There are those who are Zariz, which actually says a Baal Malacha. They're of good work ethic, and sometimes a person who's Zariz is Nischar, he gets highly rewarded, and sometimes they get they lose. And Yesh Shafa, they're those who are very lazy, v'nischar, yet they get rewarded, although they're being lazy. V'yesh Shafa v'nifsa, they're those who are lazy and they lose. So what are these four categories? Zariz v'nischar, one who's a Baal Melacha and gets highly rewarded. David Kol Yom HaShabbasah, he works every single day of the week, v'lo Avid Ma'al HaShabbasah, but doesn't work Erev Shabbos, he'll get rewarded. He works Sunday through Thursday, let's say. So he works 5 days a week, doesn't work Erev Shabbos, he gets rewarded. A Zariz v'nifsa, those who are a Baal Melacha, but loses out, David Kula Shabbasah of Avid B'mala Shabbasah, works all week and also works on Erev Shabbos, he's going to lose out because all the work he's doing Erev Shabbos is not going to see any Simin Bracha. Shafal V'Nischar, those who are lazy and will get rewarded, Dilo Avid Kula Shabbasah, Dilo Avid B'mala Shabbasah. He doesn't work all week, but nor does he work on Erev Shabbos, so he's kind of like neutral. He doesn't lose out, much of a gain, but he doesn't lose out. And Shafal V'Nischar, those who are lazy and lose out, he doesn't work other than Erev Shabbos. That's the only day he works, so he's lazy, and yet he's losing out because all the work he does won't see Simin Bracha. So Amar Rava says, Hani Nashi, the Mechuzah, the women of the city of Mechuzah, The women, they wouldn't do work Erev Shabbos because they were just very, very particular. Who the ha koyom nami lo kavdim? They don't work all week long. Afil hachi shafu v'nischa karinu labor. They're called lazy, but they get rewarded from the fact that they hold back. Now their intention of not working Erev Shabbos isn't because they're machbid on this din. It's because they're just stam lazy. They don't like getting their hands dirty. So in the end of the day, that's still called shafu v'nischa. So Rava Rami Ksiv, he says, one pasuk says, how great is the schar for mitzvah? Ki gadol ad shemaim chazdecha. That goes up until shemaim. That's the schar one receives for doing mitzvahs. Uksiv ki gadol me'al shemaim chazdecha. It goes beyond. It goes above the shemaim. So is it up until shemaim or is it lamalam in a shemaim? Haketad, what's the difference? How do we reconcile the stirim sukkim? Kan be'osin lishma, kan be'osin shalol lishma. If it's done lishma, so that's me'al shemaim. If it's done shalol lishma, that's called ad shemaim. So Gemara says, "Kedav Yehuda, Damar Yehuda, Meravli, Olam Yasek Adam B'Torah of a Mitzvah." So a person should always engage in learning and in mitzvahs. V'yafal pi Shlol Lishma, Shemitoch Shlol Lishma, Balishma. As we've seen before, that one does it Shlol Lishma, eventually it's going to grow on him. He'll do it Lishma. Tos asks a question every time this Gemara comes up. He asks the same question. We'll look at it together. Why not? Tos writes, "Kan Be'osin Shlol Lishma Kedav Yehuda, Tema." Gufa Amar Piperak based the Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Kol Osek Batar Shlo Lishma Noach Lo Shlo Nivra. He should not have better that he not be created. Here it's not so bad. The Gemara says, "Don't worry, Shlo Lishma Balishma." But the Gemara Bracha says, "Noach Shlo Nivros Nivra." That's a pretty extreme statement. So Amari the Hasa Mari Kigon Shlomid Kedei Liyasyer Ulekantar Ulekapechas Chaver Balacha. When the Gemara says Noach Shelo Livra, that's when a guy learns, so he should become a Baal Gaiva, he should be able to attack his friend. That's for bad intentions. When we talk about here, the guy's got no intention. He just learns Stam, not for bad intentions, not for good intentions. He's just very neutral. So when it's neutral, okay, we encourage him eventually, we'll grow on him to have Lishma. The guy has initially bad intentions just to attack his friend, to cause a whole thing, a whole ruckus. That's when we say Noach Shelo Livra. Gemara now says, last narrow line of the page here. Tanur Rabbanan. A metzapel eschar ishto, a person who anticipates and waits for his wife to make money, v'rei chayim, and the money she makes from grinding things, ain't a real simen bracha liyom. That person is not going to be zocher to simen bracha. And
meaning his wife,
he wants. We're going to explain now. Let's explain. The guy's waiting for his wife to make money, so he's not going to see any simen bracha liyom. So Gemara, what does that mean exactly? So Gemara explains schar ishto miskulta rechaya agrasa. What that means is miskulta is lashon of mishkal, a scale. So Rashi says, it's not a good business. She's going to walk around renting out her scale in the shuk. It doesn't cost much money, a couple of cents here and there. It's just practically, that's not a good business to go into. She's going to be mavaz herself in the shuk, trying to sell a scale, rent out a scale, and doesn't make much money. So if that's where you're looking for the money, it's not going to go anywhere. And when it comes to Rechaya Agrasa also, when she rents out her Rechayim to use, that too is not a good business. You can't sell, you can't raise money for it. The rent is a very low cost. And it's a big tirch of schlepping the rechaim all over the place. It's just not a good business to go into. However, what's a good business for a woman to go into? Aval avda umezavna, if she makes something and sells it, that's a good business. Ishabucha mishabech by the crow, the pasuk praise such a woman, dichseva sadin asasa fatimka. She can make a sadin, she can make a sheet, she can make something and sell it. That's a good business. But to start schlepping around the shuk to try to rent something out, renting isn't a good, leasing out things is not a good business. Buying and selling, producing, manufacturing and selling, that's a good business. It seems like a very practical advice that the Gemara is giving us, what businesses women should go into. So Gemara then says, Tani Rabbanan, Hamistakir b'kanim v'kankanim, enerosim b'brach liolam, a person who tries to make money for kanim with like big bottles, or rather fences, you make fences out of reeds, or kankanim or bottles, you won't see some bracha. This too is not quite a practical point, but this is more of a mystical point. So my time, what's the reason a person won't see simen bracha? Came with the nafish af chazayu, shalta behu inu. Since you're selling big items, people see what you're selling. When you do business, you want things to be very tanua. You don't need people to know, all the fences in the town are made by whatever the name is. Everyone's like, the guy sells big items. They're going to start looking, he's doing well now, give him the ayin hara. So anything that's going to catch people's attention is not going to see a simen bracha. So then the Gemara says further, Tani Rabbanan Tagre Simta, people who sell in the alleyways, not in the main marketplace, but the black market maybe, or Megadli Behema Daka, or raising small types of animals such as sheep, and And the coach say, Ilanos, people are, Tovos, people are cutting down trees, wood choppers. So then, Nosin the name, Bechelik Yafe, and they're putting their eyes in a good property. Eina Roy Simon Bracha, we'll see Rashi in just a second. Why won't they say Simon Bracha? My Taima, the Toba Inche, people are very bothered about what these different people are doing here. So the guy sitting in the alleyways, like, what's that guy doing not sitting in the front of the marketplace? He's trying to do things behind the scenes. People are going to give him Ein Hara. And Megadle Behemadaka, people who are bringing your sheep throughout your yard, you're going to say, yell at God, get off my property. So that's going to create Ein Hara. And all these different practices are going to just not get along with the people who are around you, and therefore it's going to create some form of an Ein Hara, and you won't see Simen Bracha for these businesses. So then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, further about the certain businesses people should go into or not go into, Dalet Prutos Ein Ben Simen Bracha Li'olam. There are four Prutos, four types of monies that can be used that won't be roy for Simen Bracha. What are they? Schar Kosvin, those reward the price of people who write. Schar Metugamin, people who translate. Schar Yisobim, the money invested from the properties, the monies of orphans. And Mosa Bos Mimidinesaya, money invested overseas. So why not? Bishma, I understand, Schar Metugamin, the people being paid to translate or perhaps to interpret or to amplify the drushes the rabbi is giving. Bishum de Mechse, Kischar Shabbos. It appears like the guy's working on Shabbos. The rabbi gives a drusha, and the rabbi couldn't, he did a huge, the shuls in Alexandria was huge, massive shuls. To be able to project your voice to the thousands of people there was hard. So he would whisper to the Meturgman, and he had a boom, powerful voice. So he get paid for that job, the Meturgman. But he's doing this on Shabbos. So it looks like there's a Schar Shabbos, and the Schar Shabbos is like a Mars Ayin. So that's why there's no real Roy Simen Bracha in that case. Umos Yisomim, money invested from the most of the orphans, because let's say you make a mistake and you invest incorrectly, you lose that money, the Yisomim are too little, they're ketanim, they're children, they can't be mochel on your mistakes. That also won't see Simen Bracha, so be very careful with the money of Yisomim. And Mos Habos Mimidinas Hayam, Mishum Delav Koyama Mishach Shanisa, to have the money, merchandise to go overseas. A lot of things happen overseas in the ships and then the oceans. It's a dangerous pursuit. So therefore avoid that as well. Alaskar Kosun my taima. The price a person gets, the money one makes for being a sofer, writing a tefillin, mezuzah, why that does that not see some in bracha? So a very fascinating statement the Gemara says. Amr Bishub and Levi, Chaf Dal Tainios, Yoshu Anshe Knesset Gedolah. They sat 24 fast days. Al kosvei svarim tefillin mezuzos shloys ashu. Imagine that. Anshe Knesset Gedolah fasted 24 times. L'chora connected the 24 books of Tanakh that they shouldn't make money. A sofer shouldn't make money. Why not? Because shel mali mis ashrin ain kosim. What would happen if sofer sells a pair of tefillin for $50,000? He sells two pairs of tefillin, four pairs. He's good for the year. So now he's good for the year. He's not going to make any more pairs of tefillin anymore. We need to have a plentiful of tefillin, so they had fasted that they shouldn't make too much money when selling tefillin and mezuzos. This way, we always have enough produce in the line, if you will, to keep it going. So Tanya Rabban the Brayser says, "Kosve svarim tefillin mezuzos hein v'tigren v'tigre tigren." Those who write and those sofrim who sell the tefillin mezuzos, and those who sell to the already the second hand sellers, v'chola oskim b'melecha shemayim. All those involved in this type of melecha shemayim, the tefillin mezuzos and sifrei Torah. L'suyei mochei tcheles, those who sell tcheles, ein aron simen bracha, they do not see simen bracha li'olam, v'im oskin l'shma roan. If they do it l'shma, then roan. Because they sell to make money, right? They make money. That's not fully l'shma, unfortunately. But they do it mamish l'shma, and they just get paid because they need to make a parnasa. But l'shma is mamish to make sure that they didn't have the mitzvahs, so that's already l'shma, then they will roan simen bracha. B'nei Baishin, nog d'lohavi ozen mitzur l'tzidon b'mal shabasa. The people, the children of Baishan, had the practice, the minhag, not to travel to Tzidon on Erev Shabbos. That was a time of the Shuk. They wouldn't go. If you look at Rashi, five lines up, Mitzur L'Tzidon, Yom HaShuk Shel Tzidon Be'Erev Shabbos. That's when they met on Erev Shabbos. That was the big market day. V'heim Machmir Na'al Atzman Shlo Lehibato Mitarche Shabbos. They didn't want to go because they take away from the preparations for Shabbos. So Asu Benayu Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. The children of this family once came to Rabbi Yochanan. And Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Avasan Efshaluhu. Our father was able to miss the big day, the big marketplace. He had a lot of money. Anan Lo Efshalon. We don't have that ability. We don't have so much money. We need to make money. So we need to go Erev Shabbos to the Ashuk. Amar Lahu, Rabbi Yochanan says back to them, Kvar kibla avoseichem aleim, your fathers already took upon this as a minag, shenemar, shema b'ni musavich v'al titosh tar simecha, you can change from the practice, and even though it's difficult and challenging for you, nonetheless, you need to keep the minag of your father, minag avoseinu b'yadeinu. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day. Mirza Hashem, we'll continue this wonderful parak tomorrow.